Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
On this Christmas Eve, amen. Our text is the gospel just read. You know, it's easy to see this year that Christmas is a little different out there in the world. Well, it's always a little more different each year. But I think this year it's even more different in the sense of this, that this year, more than any other year, I think Christmas has been under attack. I went by the Target store. No Salvation Army ringer out there this year because that's deemed to be too religious. You can buy a holiday tree at Lowe's department store, a home improvement store, but you can't buy a Christmas tree. Now, what the difference is, I really don't know because holiday, Christmas. Nobody really told them that the word holiday comes from the two words holy day. But maybe it's best they don't know. So don't tell anybody. You know, that may seem surprising to you or just a statement of our times. But you know, Christmas trees weren't always that popular here in our country. On Christmas morning in 1851, a young pastor named Heinrich Christian Schwan, newly installed at Zion Lutheran Church in Cleveland, Ohio, went out back behind his parsonage to the woods there and cut down a tree and brought it into the church. And he met his wife there, Emma Schwan, and it met her approval. Nobody knows what kind of tree it was, whether it was a Scotch pine or a blue spruce or a Norway spruce. That doesn't matter. What does matter is that he carried it into the church, and the couple spent the afternoon dressing it up. They put cookies on it, and they put fancy nuts and candles, because, of course, in 1851, there was no electricity. The one thing they put at the top was Heinrich's cherished silver star that he brought with him from Germany when he came over to America. And the star was a powerful reminder to him of what Christmas meant to him in his homeland and how many homes had Christmas trees but didn't here in America. And Pastor Schwan, he wanted to share his happiness with his congregation, so he put up this tree. Now, many of the people were German-born and might have that same experience. But most Americans hadn't. The custom hadn't caught on yet. In fact, to Schwan's knowledge, this is the first time that such a tree was brought into a church here in America. So once a tree was fully trimmed, they got ready for services. And just before, standing back, gazing admiringly at it, Heinrich and Emma thought only how surprised their congregation would be when they'd come into the church and they would see that Christmas tree there and all the candles glowing brightly on Christmas Eve. They were surprised, but that was to say the least. Now, most of them were delighted for them seeing that handsome young pastor reading the Christmas story beside this bright, beautiful tree brought back memories from the old country. But for others, those not familiar with the idea of the Tannenbaum, especially one in church, it was not such a blessing. "Oh my goodness! How could they bring that thing into a church?" said one woman, covering her eyes. "What in the world is this supposed to mean? A tree in the chancel? What kind of a minister would do that?" Well, within a day or two, Pastor Schwan's Christmas tree was a talk of the town, and the talk was not good. A prominent local newspaper was writing editorials about it, calling it a nonsensical, moronic absurdity. It said that these Lutherans were worshiping a tree, groveling before a shrub. Worse, the newspaper recommended that the good Christian people of the community should not give patronage to anyone who worshiped before a tree and who owned a business. They should shun and refuse business with anyone who tolerates such heathenish, idolatrous practices in his church. Now, this is bad press for the struggling immigrant community there in Cleveland, Ohio. Members of Zion Church, especially those with businesses and stores that were dependent on the public's goodwill. And you can bet all the fingers of blame were pointed in one direction, Pastor Schwann and Mrs. Schwann. To his credit, though, the young pastor was, well, I'd say tough. Even though he was sorely chastened, he didn't cave in, at least not right away. The tree stayed up all that week, even to the Sunday after Christmas. But then it came down. Not long after, Emma, wife of the pastor, found the silver star hidden in the trash. And she took it to her husband. She said, "What do you mean by this? Why did you throw this away?" He said, "Because there will never again be a Christmas tree in a church in Cleveland." And a young wife said, "Nonsense." She said, "Next year, more people are going to come to understand this, and you will see more trees, Christmas trees, at Cleveland." So Emma saved the star, and her prediction came true the next year. There were more trees in people's houses. People were inspired by the sight of this in their church. And it became a rather solid Christian custom, a custom in which Christians could express their joy at the birth of their Savior, the Christ child. So on Christmas Eve in 1852, Schwann's church again displayed a blazing Christmas tree. But this time it was not the only tree in Cleveland. Many houses had them, and even some other churches. And within 5 years, Christmas trees were going up in houses and in churches all over America. It was amazing. Now, Pastor Schwann, as we know, was not the first person in North America to decorate a Christmas tree, but he was the first, as far as we can tell, to put one in a church. And he was almost single-handedly responsible for this custom gaining widespread acceptance as he wrote about and researched the traditions in Germany and brought them to Americans. Now, you can go to the spot where the church used to be. It's moved since, on the corner of Lakeside Avenue and East 6th Street in Cleveland. And there's a historical marker there, I'm told, that reads thus: "On this site stood the first Christmas tree in America, publicly lighted and displayed in the church for a Christmas ceremony. Here stood the original Zion Lutheran Church, where in 1851, on Christmas Eve, Pastor Henry Schwann lighted the first Christmas tree in Cleveland, and the tradition he brought from Germany soon became widespread and accepted throughout America. And the present site of Zion Lutheran Church is at 2062 East 30th Street." Pastor Schwann would later go on to prominence as a synod president of the Missouri Synod from 1878 to 1899. You know, you might know him also from that old blue catechism that you studied when you were in 7th and 8th grade. He wrote those study questions in the back, you know, the one the pastor asks all the students there at their examination. So if you had a tough time with that, blame Heinrich Schwann. But we can absolve him for the Christmas tree. What would our church be like without a Christmas tree? You know, after all these years, it would seem bare, wouldn't it? It's like something was missing. And apparently, we can see that Christianity really is under attack in America in certain ways. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been intimidated by this. Do you say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays to your boss? Or in school? Or to the lady at the checkout counter? We even get carried away with the party and presents, which are really just the window dressing, the icing on the cake, if you will. But the real meaning of the tree and the presents and the carols shines forth like that Christmas tree in Cleveland. God loves the inhabitants of earth. He loves them dearly. This God saw our dilemma, a problem we could not solve ourselves, a curse was over us and death, which he did not create, but which entered the world through our own disobedience. Oh, we accept it now that we're all going to die someday. But there was a time when there was no death. There was no sickness. There was no disease, no cancer, no pain, and no hardship. That's the way the world was first made. It was the curse of our sin and disobedience which brought this suffering to the world. But God, in his kindness, saw what needed to be done. He saw the one thing possible that could bring this to be. He became one of us. That's why we're here tonight, to remember that God became one of us in Jesus Christ. He didn't stop there, but he went all the way to the cross where he took our sin upon himself and paid that debt. He defeated sin and death and hell. I say to you this Christmas night, all dressed up in our best clothes and here with our Christmas tree lighted, with the carols coming forth from our mouths and the joy in our hearts, how can we be ashamed to sing, to shout, and to forever proclaim this great gift that God has given to us in Jesus Christ, born at Bethlehem? Happy holidays or holy days? Yes, but even more, Merry Christmas. Amen. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.